Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, we're getting our first little bit of movement here at the top of the draft. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, NFL Draft. Less than a week away now, at least the first round. And we get a little something here, Perloff. A little something.
But wait, did we really get something or did we make up something? What's the...
No, I'm not making anything up. I'm talking about the general manager of the New England Patriots is a guy by the name of Elliott Wolff. And yesterday, he was speaking to the media. Of course, the Patriots hold the number three pick in this draft. And here's what he had to say about them being open for business.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft. And, you know, we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
Okay, so when he says move up, he's talking about later rounds. You can't get it up anymore if you're picking third because the Commanders are going to pick a quarterback at two, and obviously the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams at one. So you're talking about him saying we're open for business in the first round. To me, that was a signal. Give me your best and final offers here as we are headed down the back stretch here before the first round kicks off.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, it's funny. I read it differently. When I hear the GM, Elliott Wolff's got some weird title there. When he comes on and says, we may trade, like, they're outright lying in their press conference, right? I mean, that can't be real, right? Like, I mean, what is it? In my sense, like, what GM would come up in a press conference in front of the media and say something that's real?
Well,
like,
did you believe you it think when the Cardinals did it? What was his name? Monty Asafor came out and said, we're open for business. And everyone said, they're open for business.
Well,
believe it now.
But I just think that I think it's going to be really hard for them to make this trade. And I like what you said. Maybe it's like the last, like, listen, we're not getting the offers we want.
Yeah.
We'll put this out there. I don't know why they would need to do it with the media. But it does feel to me like the Patriots, if they were going to move out of that pick, like when? Here's the question. Are they waiting to see who goes number two and then deciding to move out? Because then I can't imagine they get the same deal. These blockbusters have usually happened pretty soon. So I think they're going to get stuck with this number three. I think they're asking for the moon. And I don't think anyone's giving them the moon to get up to this three.
Well, you're going to have desperate teams, I think, that are going to trip over themselves to try to get to that third spot if it is indeed open. You're talking about the Broncos, you're talking about the Minnesota Vikings, and you're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, these are three teams that are stacked back-to-back-to-back with each other in the first round who have no real plan at quarterback. Now, the Vikings are the obvious choice because they've already positioned themselves with another first-round pick. So when you do that kind of thing and you arm yourself with another first-rounder, you know, and you need a quarterback, it feels like you are trying to make a maneuver here.
Yeah, but why haven't they done it yet?
Well, that's a maybe this is the last and finals, because if you feel like you're holding a bit of a lottery ticket with that third, because you know, we've talked to a lot of different people about these three quarterbacks, and you and I obviously watch them in college very closely. It feels like there is a Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then the next tier starts with J.J. McCarthy. Right. Now, that could he could still go four. Right? It might happen. But the top three guys are in one class and caliber, and then the J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix are in another caliber.
Right, but let's not forget the reality that you've sort of been saying all along. The Patriots have Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe at quarterback.
Yeah.
They need a quarterback.
Yes.
So it doesn't make any sense in that sense for them to move off of three, so they must be asking for so much.
Okay. There might be another explanation for this, because I was thinking about that too. We're talking about the Patriots general manager came out yesterday and said, we're open for business in the first round. It got people talking. Okay, maybe the Patriots are really trying to move out of that third overall pick. Maybe they feel like they've got so many holes they've got to fill. They're in this rebuild mode, you know, right after Belichick has left and all of that. Jerod Mayo was back at the owners' meetings in March. So that's not that long ago. We're talking about last month.
Yeah.
And he said, quarterback is a priority for us, but you have to be in love with a guy if you're going to take him third. Is it possible if they trade out of this pick that their evaluation is telling them something different than what we've been led to believe, that this class is so stacked at the top with QBs? Is it possible that they are not in love with whoever the third guy is, if it's going to be Jaden Daniels or it's going to be Drake May? Maybe they're not. Maybe their evaluation is not showing what everyone else is in.
So, okay, what if they like J.J. McCarthy? Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, said on his famous conference call that if the Patriots do trade out of three, they don't want to go too low because they still want to get McCarthy. So what about that option? Try and trade to, say, eight or something, where they or they trade, say, with Minnesota 11, then trade back up to get McCarthy.
Listen,
because there's also the thought that McCarthy falls to the Vikings flat out at 11, that they don't even need to trade to get to him. If McCarthy's the guy, he's going to be way easier to get than Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like the McCarthy going four or people tripping over themselves to get McCarthy, I always thought that was a little bit of a draft convention. Just because of what we watched from him in college. He's a great winner, but didn't have like a full almost evaluation because he was asked to do so little. I think that'd be hard to pull off for a first-time GM doing this in the big chair for the first time. Like, how cute can you really get here? Because we're talking about the Patriots, and everyone in the building is doing this post-Belichick. Now, Belichick was running the draft. Now, he had his scouts and assistants, but like, it was him, you know. I'm wondering how many fingerprints are going to be on this pick, and does a guy who's doing this in this big chair for the first time, is he going to be able to really pull off what he thinks he's going to be able to pull off? Because, again, it's going to look bad if you get jumped over, if you get oopsie-dooped, if you get, you know, if something goes wrong, this is your first draft. You wanted to come away with a quarterback. You got too cute. You didn't do it. You could have just taken the guy when you had, you're sitting there at three. Is there like a real life part of that that might make that a little trickier to pull?
I don't know. It feels like Elliot Wolf's been around forever, though. I mean, his name is, his dad is Ron Wolf, the famous team builder. I don't think Elliot Wolf is scared of this stuff. He was really high up with the Packers. He was not quite running the show there, but he was as high as you got. So
Gutekunst and Murphy are the highest.
Yeah, but I don't think Elliot Wolf will not be scared about this because he's been in those circles for a long time.
I'm wondering if there's a little apprehension just the year past Belichick.
Yeah.
You know that you need a quarterback. You're sitting there
so
at three.
So you go three.
So you just take him at three.
Right. You know? I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that's why I don't think there's anything to be traded. But they're probably holding out for four first round picks or something crazy. I don't even, you know, 11 and 24, that's not going to do it. You need way more than that.
The next year's one.
Yeah, I think Arizona would take 11 and 24 at number four, but number three, you got to get just a complete haul, maybe a player too, because you have such an empty roster. I honestly, which is safer, to go Drake May or Jaden Daniels at number three, or to get a ton of first round picks and build up the roster? You think it's safer just to stay number three and less risky?
I depend on their evaluation. Yeah. Again, maybe they're seeing something that the other teams aren't. But I think teams will tell themselves, let's take the guy here. Yeah. Now we've got our guy. And we'll never have to do this again. And if he really hits, we'll be happy to pay him anyway. Yeah. Because I know people get scared off because these quarterback contracts are so big. But again, if you've got Patrick Mahomes or you have a Lamar, well, Lamar was a little different. You have a Josh Allen. you know, Joe Burrow, you know you're ponying up and you're happy to do it because you've got a franchise quarterback.
Right, right. I mean, the storyline with the Patriots all offseason has been like Bryce Young. That's the fear, right? You're going to bring Drake May there or Jane Dan, probably Drake May. You bring him there, like nothing's going to, it's not going to be good.
Right.
I mean, who's he throwing to? Nobody.
Right.
Who's protecting him? Who knows? They have to win games with defense like 13 to 10. This is not going to be a great quarterback spot. So I think that there's a fear we're going to ruin this guy. And you have, what, 5 years, maybe 4 years to win with a rookie quarterback? The Patriots might be saying there's no way we're going to win with this guy. That being said, I agree with you. I think that they're going to stick at three. I wish I could bet on that one.
I know. I just don't see them pulling off this whatever. And I also think that Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft are going to have a say in this pick. I think that there's been, you know, there was a lot of Belichick fatigue at the end, obviously, in New England, in amongst the ownership, and I think they want a little bit more say in how the end of Robert Kraft's tenure here with the Patriots, because he's an older guy. I think he wants a little bit of say about what's going to happen, and I think they want quarterback in the building now.
Yeah, I kind of worry that they like either Jaden Daniels or Drake May, one or the other, a lot more than the other. So what if the Commanders get the guy they want? Isn't that annoying if you're a Patriots fan and a Patriots executive where you're stuck at three and you might have to wait till draft night to find out who's available? Or does the information come out enough time for you to make a trade? You have, what, 15 minutes to make that deal? That would scare me. You said a first-time GM. Imagine Elliot Wolf really wants Drake May and he goes number two. Then he's like, oh, crap, now I have to trade out. Can he make all those calls fast enough?
Well, that's what you've hopefully been doing the last month, is like coming up with that contingency plan
if you
don't love both of the guys.
Have it in place. That's a lot of pressure. That's why I'm like, get the deal done. If you're going to trade, do it now.
Could be like a Tua Justin Herbert situation, you know, where if you
just take either guy,
if you're the Chargers, you were kind of like, all right, we'll take Tua, we'll take Justin Herbert. We kind of like them both.
Yeah, that worked out great. No, I mean, it did. I'm not saying that sarcastically. That sort of worked out for both teams. I mean, it worked out better for the Chargers, but it didn't kill the Dolphins at all.
855-212-4227. As far as if this pick is open, and let's go through this, if the Patriots at three is open, who is the team that you think should go up there and trade to three?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Minnesota, obviously, because they're ready for a quarterback. They have sick receivers, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. They have a good tight end. They have a really good offensive line. They have a great offensive coach, Kevin O'Connell. I don't know if he's a great head coach. I think he's a good head coach. He definitely knows how to run an offense. So everything's in place. Get the rookie quarterback. Boom, go. That's the team that has to do it.
Yeah, see, I'm actually thinking it's got to be someone like the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders are sitting there at 13. We haven't heard a ton, but they are a team that's going into the season with Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is a high-end backup quarterback, right? A very high-end backup quarterback. But you're telling me in the AFC West, you are not going to try to reload at this point when you have Devontae Adams on the roster now. You've got Max Crosby on the roster now. This is still his pieces. And you have Antonio Pierce, who is a defensive coach, obviously, but you took the interim tag off. You know, you really got to hope, if you're the Raiders, that this is something that sticks. You want to give the best possible option for this coaching staff and whatever, all the fumigating, all the bad stuff that has happened in the building, starting with Gruden. And I know you got Rich Bisaccia and went to the playoffs, but that didn't end well. And then you went on to the Josh McDaniels, you know, era, which just absolutely sucked. You know, there should be a lot of pressure on the Las Vegas Raiders to get up and make this move. What are you waiting for?
Wow.
You know, Derek Carr is gone. You had him for a long time. You didn't win Jack with him. You've got to start this thing over. And Gardner Minshew's not going to be that guy.
Yeah, if I'm the agent for Drake May or Jaden Daniels, I would say no thank you. This is, the funny thing you said, the Raiders, I'm like, oh, well, that's not going to work. That was my immediate instinct. They get Drake May as somewhat developmental quarterback. Oh, boy, that seems tough. They are just, as a franchise, they are in a tough, nothing seems to go right for them under Mark Davis.
Well, so, you know what changes all those things? Getting a good quarterback, getting a little positivity in the building.
I don't know if it changes all those things. I think the problems run deeper with that team, personally. We'll see. I get what you're saying. Well, why not just take the next guy lower on? Honestly, I think Michael Penix is so perfect for that team. Just throw those long balls to Devontae Adams. If you can stay healthy, I think there's value lower on for the Raiders. Why do they have to go up and get Drake May? Is his timeline going to fit with Davante Adams? I kind of doubt it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, nobody is going to fit. Davante Adams being on this team feels like a little bit of an odd fit. So,
well, bringing in Penix is already 33 years old, according to most. He's already old enough that he's... The downside of Michael Penix and Bo Nix is they're old. Bring in the old guy to play a couple years with Davante Adams. Don't bring in the developmental guy.
See, I think it works both ways, though. You're only thinking at it, but what can this quarterback do for Davante Adams? I'm asking, what can Davante Adams do for this quarterback? You're talking about Drake May. The number one comp that he gets is who? Josh Allen.
Right.
And how much did, you know, Stephon Diggs help Josh Allen in his development? How much could Davante Adams fast forward a rookie's development, and how much could he fast forward what Drake May can do? Because that's the other thing about May. He's got the huge arm. It's not just Michael Penix who throws the pretty ball. Drake May's got the big arm too.
Yeah.
And I think you can look at this as what can May do for Adams? What can Adams do for May?
Yeah, that feels like I've heard that player couple. It feels a bit rich. Kind of like Caleb Williams to Patrick Mahomes and Drake May to Josh Allen. Like, you're picking kind of the two best quarterbacks in the NFL. How come nobody ever comps to somebody who's a little bit lower? If Drake May goes to the Raiders, if they somehow got up there to three and got Drake May, I would be very nervous that that all the timing of the young guys and the old guys would not work together. And I think, honestly, I think I'd be in the mainstream of that one. I don't think people would be predicting instant success for that team, because it's been a long time, Maggie.
Listen, you have a guy in Tom Telesco who's now running that, veteran general manager. I know I'm not a huge fan either, but I could see him getting fired by the Chargers, feeling like you want to take a big swing here and come out of the gate with something really, really big. And we were talking about the Raiders last year trading up for a quarterback in that class. They didn't do it. So why not this year? Now you're just another year into this thing and you still have a need at QB.
Because you would gut your future draft picks if you try to move off this. Like, then it's, you know, you might not be able to build anymore around Drake May. Okay. And then your old players like Crosby and Davante Adams would be gone, and you're kind of left with a cupboard bare for Drake May.
Yeah, but I don't think Adams and Crosby are gone now. Like, I still think I have maybe another 2 to 3 years with those guys. I'm not trading out 4 years of future draft picks here. I mean, I'm talking about maybe next year's one.
You think next year's one and the 13th pick will get you to three?
Might get me closer.
You might get four. I don't know if you're getting three. I think you have to give up even more than that.
Lots to do here on this Friday, 855-212-4227. Coming up later on in the show, DeMar Hamlin is set to join us. Bill's safety obviously went through this incredibly traumatic experience 2 years ago in Cincinnati, and now has become this inspiration for really anyone. I mean, people dealing with cardiac issues, and what DeMar Hamlin has just symbolized for the NFL has been nothing short but a miracle. We have that coming up at the 8 o'clock Eastern hour. Coming up next, audio you have to hear. There's just no way that this is like happened and we're all just sitting there and letting this just go by without acknowledging it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. All right. I went rogue, Maggie. I put up the poll myself. Instead of waiting for Ed, Maggie, and Pearl, I went at Andrew Perloff. You can follow Maggie at Maggie Gray. If you're the Patriots, would you trade out from number three or take a quarterback? Here's what you get. Go. If you got the Broncos.
Yeah.
A few years ago, the Niners traded up the Dolphins. They went, gave them the 12th pick and two future first round picks. So that, and some other stuff was involved. Some later picks were involved in the deal. That's a huge haul. The Patriots, if say they did it with the Raiders or the Broncos, those teams could be terrible. You could have top 10 picks galore over the next 3 years. I think that's tempting to me. If I'm a GM, I'm a trade out guy. I always want more picks. That's all. You know why? Because Bill Belichick seemed to build a dynasty on more picks. His best pick ever was more picks.
Yeah, but you want to know why that worked.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. So that's the question for the Patriots. You still haven't solved the biggest question you have to solve. Like, even their head coach said quarterback's a priority. You know, they're not saying, hey, Jacoby Brissett's got the job, everybody. Line up behind him.
But you ever done a hypothetical, if you ever are lucky enough to get a genie in a bottle, what's the first thing you wish for?
More wishes.
More wishes.
I know, but they tell you can't do that.
Yeah, but
this is... My kid's an Aladdin favorite.
Well, a lot of people set that ground rule, but if you don't set the ground rule, that's the first thing you're saying, and it's the NFL draft. There's no ground rules. You can get more wishes here. And if you're the Patriots, you stink at every level. I'm leaning now trade out, because I think Drake May will take some time, and Jaden Daniels could get hurt at any time. So I feel like there's no perfect solution here. Trade out, get two future firsts. Maybe get a guy at 12 if you want to. Get a guy in the second round. What's the difference here?
So the reason why we're talking about the Patriots trading out of the third pick is because their general manager is a guy by the name of Elliot Wolf, and he was speaking to the media yesterday and said they're open for business. And he said, trade up, trade down, trade left, trade right. But this tradition of having general managers do press conferences before the draft is the dumbest exercise that we all are complicit in. This is the easiest layup for teams. Let's send the guy out there before the draft so he can say absolutely nothing.
You might as well have AI generate a bunch of words. You're right. It's meaningless.
And except when you get moments like this. Now, you mentioned AI generated. I swear to you, Perloff, I thought that's what happened when I heard this clip. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars general manager, Trent Baalke, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers. This is him responding. I don't even know what the question was. I don't even care. Listen.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Oh, dear God. Dear God.
Wait a minute. And the excuse me basically is the guilty. That's the guilt right there. Because if you don't say excuse me, you just go on. That could have been a squeaky shoe, a chair. We could blame it on the dog till the cows come home. You say, excuse me, you just ripped a fart.
But it sounds like, I don't understand, was his butt near the microphone?
I think it was just that robust.
I wonder, the acoustics are interesting to me here, how he sort of projected that towards the, that was incredible.
Let's do a little bit of an experiment here, because we have really good microphones. No, Bogus,
I don't know about what this experiment is.
I'm leaving.
No, it's okay. You don't need a gas mask here. I'm just going to tell, we have incredibly expensive, high-quality microphones here.
Yeah.
Let's see how far away I can get before you could hear me make a fart sound with my hands, right?
Okay, so you
now
have to,
I'm back like this.
No, but you you're doing it all wrong, Maggie. You're doing it all wrong because your trajectory is still straight into the mic. You have to get down on the ground. Indian style on the ground.
Crisscross applesauce. They call it these days.
Yeah. Now point. Okay, no. You can't point the mic down. Yeah, point like you're talking.
On. All right. YouTube.com/CBS.
This wasn't Ace Ventura. He wasn't putting his butt towards the microphone.
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm sort of trying to get at. Do we have video of what actually happened?
Okay.
You need to get a little lower.
Okay. Hold on. I'm on the floor now. Again. Sorry. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Okay, here we go. I'm sitting on the ground.
I have no idea. You're sitting right now. You have to tell us on the other side.
Super audible.
Super audible.
Yeah, you can absolutely hear it.
I'm telling you, these mics these days, you are not hiding. They're really intense. So it might not have been that big of a pass gas, and he's just... it was loud.
But he made it obvious with the pause so he could rip it so the cheeks could spread, and then he goes, excuse me. Totally just put the silence right there for that fart to be picked up.
Here's the thing.
My bad.
There's a couple times, unless he's got some kind of IBS or something. Like, if he's really got some disease, then I feel bad about this. But there's a couple times in your day when you just can't do that. The 15 minutes you're meeting with the media is one of those times. Can't do it.
That wasn't a good fart either. That didn't sound comfortable.
Sick. Wait. That was. You isolated the sound there.
That was the fart.
Can we hear the whole thing again, like extended?
Excuse me. Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and go. Excuse me, going through the final.
That's a wet one, man. That's clean up on aisle six.
The guy's been watching tape 21 hours a day. I mean, that's
lay off the coffee. I mean, that might be a
good sign for your team. It's like, God, this guy doesn't even have time to let it rip before.
He couldn't even,
you know.
You mentioned the IBS.
He couldn't even
Maggie.
Clear the chambers before he got up there. This guy is
He's
grinding
so
on tape.
He doesn't have a minute.
I don't even have time to fart.
He's got a caveman beard.
I had a professor in college that would just fart, like couldn't control it. It was the greatest class ever.
You never knew when it was coming. You just knew it was coming at some point.
It wasn't a matter of if. It was just a matter of when.
Did he have some kind of medical issue, though, obviously?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, he kind of described it once. I couldn't care to pay attention.
Was it a health class?
Yeah, it was like
it was actually like a glorified music class.
Yeah. Maybe he just didn't care.
Liberal arts college.
Maybe he was just like, I would respect that, just not even caring and just letting it go.
I would love to get to a point in life where I don't care.
It's called
who's
aging.
Around me, just
the old guy.
It.
Yeah, yeah,
it's called being 80, you know, or something like that. You'll get there. Don't worry.
Or
God
Sean
willing,
Marash.
You'll get there. What's that, Pete?
Or Sean Marash.
Yeah. Or you know, you just don't care about anything. Tough to have that one on your resume.
Yeah, the excuse me was a mistake.
Like you could have powered through it, talk while you're doing it, and maybe it could be suffocated.
Now, I saw a little of this on social media. Ha ha, no wonder Jim Harbaugh didn't want to work with him. I'm like, see, I don't think that would have turned Harbaugh off.
No, that's just, feels like that.
I feel like that might be right up Harbaugh's alley.
Yeah. No, the football decisions are why Harbaugh doesn't want to yeah, right. work with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think Harbaugh would have wanted a sniff?
No, it's just like you don't want to draft. That's awful.
Come here, let me get that.
Athletic rep.
Who's got it better than us? Everybody. I think they didn't like that he kept drafting guys who were injured.
I think the fart was probably his best thing on his resume.
It's not his worst, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
People in San Francisco are like, that explains a lot.
I mean, people in Jacksonville must be wondering, why is this guy our GM? I mean, that's come across a lot of people's minds.
Before yesterday.
Yeah, before yesterday.
Well, this he won't be if they don't make the playoffs again.
This is actually a weirdly positive thing for Trent Baalke. This is like actually...
A misdirection?
Yeah, it's a great misdirection. That we won't focus on, you know, passing on Aiden Hutchinson.
He's really going to
guess.
Really going to great lengths there to change the narrative.
Did he hire Urban Meyer? I can't remember the timing. I think he did.
That's not good.
I mean, honestly, this is way better than hiring Urban Meyer to coach your NFL team.
I think that was a Shad Khan situation. Yeah. I think that came from ownership.
Yeah, he was there. Oh, boy.
No wonder employees feel like they can rip the entire franchise off for millions and millions of dollars. This is like one of your highest level executives is just ripping a fart right before the draft.
It sounds worse the more you hear it.
It's getting louder. Bogus has headlines. Good luck topping that.
Yeah, thanks. The Patriots, they say, as you guys began the show, they're open for business at number 3 in next Thursday's first round. The Giants sit 3 spots behind them. Maybe they're looking for their next quarterback, or maybe Joe Shane rides with Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Tommy DeVito.
With, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system. Tommy's come a long way, so no, I think we could go in with the season with the 3 that we have, and you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
Now, with all due respect to Misters Locke and DeVito, this is about Daniel Jones. The doubts about his long-term future continue. There was a point this offseason where Rich Eisen said on his radio show the Giants were over Jones. Shane says that's not the case.
There's stuff out there all the time that's not true, and you really can't let it bother you. I've got a good relationship with Daniel, and we communicate all the time. He's here all the time. So we've got a good relationship and we communicate well. And, you know, if he has an issue or hears something or something that I think I need to talk to him about, you know, we do that often.
And last but not least,
like I said before, the expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off.
From a torn ACL that cut short last season. Another injury, which is part of the reason why maybe Jones is not the guy for the Giants.
I mean, a neck injury, and now you got the ACL.
The farting.
don't know about Jones.
Jones farts?
There was a moment in there when he's like, you know, I communicate with him all the time. I mean, he's here every day. That can't get rid of this guy. Tried to change his key card. We took away his parking spot. It keeps showing up.
Well, and last week when Jones spoke, he had the weird, like, bugged out eyes. So imagine that guy sitting in the corner of your office every day just looking at you, waiting for more love and affection.
I did. It was called Adam Gase.
Yeah, that was a little different. Bogus, you're a newsman, but you're also a Giants fan.
Sure.
You want them to get a new quarterback?
I think Daniel Jones is replaceable. I don't want J.J. McCarthy to be the replacement specifically. That feels like just redoing the whole Daniel Jones scenario.
Got it.
So at this point, I would rather them, because Shane also said yesterday that, again, this is what can you believe, that a surprising amount of teams have called him about trading up to number six. Mm. That makes sense. Taking one of these stud wide receivers as your last gift to Daniel Jones makes sense as well. But just, as long as it's not J.J. McCarthy, to oversimplify things, that's all I care about.
Right. Yeah, it's funny, because Peter Schrager, who's really good at this, NFL Network, had the Giants trading up from 6 to 4.
To get McCarthy,
like 4
right?
days ago, to get McCarthy. And since then, because I read every mock draft, now McCarthy's falling like a lead balloon, and people think there's no way that the Giants are going up. Maybe it's because of what Shane said, but I heard Daniel Jeremiah did a big conference call that everyone keeps quoting. He said, I highly do not expect the Giants to take a quarterback, which is so boring, by the way. Like, if you're not taking a quarterback, what are you doing at number 6 in the draft?
That's all right. Sometimes the flashy Giants drafts are not exactly what you want. I don't know if Saquon Barkley at 2, that got a lot of publicity, and I don't know if that was the right pick. Anyway.
We've got Chargers GM Joe Ortiz saying yesterday he could trade number 5, but shockingly, you'll have to knock him off his feet with your offer. He's not interested in a fair trade, so he wants to swindle you for number 5.
I like his thinking. Oh, right? Yeah, it's like fantasy football.
I'm glad he told us all that.
Yeah, you guys all have that guy in your league. He's like, oh, I'll give you... I'll give you. Oh, you that guy who tries.
That guy.
You say, I'll give you KJ Osborne. You give me Cooper Kupp.
Exactly. Sometimes it
people
works.
Hate you. You realize that. They
sometimes
hate you
it
in
works.
The league. It's worth
does
it.
Does it work?
Yeah, sometimes.
No, the what you have to always do is you always have to target the newest person.
That's
I'm talking
what
about
I do.
The NFL, or maybe fantasy too.
This is my profile in fantasy.
The new guy.
The new guy. Doesn't know what's going on. You go after the best player they have on the team.
This goes back to yesterday, political strategist Pete Bilotti. You know how to work a room. You know how to find the weak spots.
Also, slash cult leader. This also works for that. Find the most vulnerable person, the newest person, someone who's a little on their on their heels, a little off kilter.
I have RFK winning the state. I tell you, it may not win the whole election, but it will state.
Which state? This one? No.
I wish EJ was here this morning. We've got Sixers backup forward Paul Reed taking shots at his Knicks ahead of game 1 at the Garden Saturday.
Yeah, we wanted the Knicks matchup, of course. That's the easier team.
That's Reed on FanDuel TV
get
saying
lost. There.
Well, again, I would love this to be a big thing, but this is the only thing. Like, no one thought the Sixers should tank the play-in game like the Lakers to avoid anybody. Like, this is the only thing to say. This is not actual trash talk. This is just reality.
It comes from a bum on the bench, too.
Well, right. But they won the game to be the 7th seed to face the Knicks and not the Celtics. No duh.
Right.
Wow.
Why was this even a question?
Well, luckily you do have another Knicks fan here, Bogus. And Paul Reed's got a lot of trouble coming his way now.
From you?
Yeah,
you
he's got a lot of trouble trying to figure out how to play basketball.
He could have orchestrated a PR answer. You know, they're good. They're both great teams. We obviously wanted to win our game. And say he goes, you know, of course we want the Knicks. All right. Bet.
I'm going to be honest.
Come on.
Because our boss, our former boss, Spike Eskin, had like a small infatuation with Paul Reed and B-ball Paul. I've heard 2 interviews with Paul Reed that he's done, which is way more than I ever thought I'd listen to.
By 3.
Paul Reed's not thinking about anything. Like, he's just out there off the cuff. This is not Pete being a political strategist. He's just talking.
Well, Paul Reed's going to be playing 40 minutes a night when the Knicks knock Embiid out of the series.
He might. Yeah. That's true.
It's on game 1.
Called gravity is knocking Embiid out of the. They don't even need the Knicks. So just stand there and watch him fall.
I said Embiid's a big sneeze away from being out for another year.
We are the New York Knicks.
Maggie said we were not allowed to talk about the series, but that how are the odds even on that series? That's insane. Does anyone know Joel Embiid has one leg?
This is Sixers crazy. Are actually priced as a small favorite when I checked yesterday.
Amazing.
So that's
really?
That's a big bet for me.
Wow. Right? Like, Bogus, you had the same reaction I did. Like, what?
Well, I mean, I guess you start with the fact that they're, what, like 33-8 with it when Embiid plays?
Is yeah, that I guess what
they're so. Bank it on?
Embiid he's not is, healthy. He's not healthy.
They won their last 8 regular season games.
Okay, and who did they play? Half the team's probably out of it. They played the Thunder without their best 2 players.
I'm telling you, Embiid's knee brace looks like he's playing offensive line for Ohio State. That it's thing huge. Is so big.
That's why I bet against the Sixers because that size of that knee brace. That's exactly my thing. I'm like, you can't possibly dominate when you're. I have that knee brace at home for my little sprain. You can't even move in that thing.
That hard cast?
That's a system play for Perloff. If the knee brace is bigger than 6 inches in diameter, bet the other side.
I mean, yeah, I love it. There's all these NBA analysts like. Even we can analyze it. Jimmy Butler can't walk, and Giannis is hurt, and Embiid is hurt. So what are we doing here, people? Why? This is obvious. Why are we overthinking and doing analytics? Like, you need your stars to have both knees intact. That's all I'll say.
We are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks.
I see what you're doing, though. You're trying. You're.
That's what everyone says. No, I actually am watching the obvious reality in front of me.
I also had a thought yesterday.
Making Pat nervous, it looks like.
Bam, Ewing dunks it in your face.
When Pete gave you the Pistons as your new team,
yeah.
Didn't we also decree that you could never get back on the Sixers bandwagon?
Pete? That was part of it.
Pete, is that the way it works?
Correct. So you're breaking the rules, but I'm allowing this because the Sixers stink.
He just wants me to have a bad team.
He wants you to be a fan now so that the Knicks can crush your team and that he can celebrate. NBA also, finals. Congrats to Perloff for not wearing 76ers gear for the first day today. You made it to Friday. Did you just run out of stuff?
Yes, basically.
Dr. J undies on?
I don't know. It's not even...
Dr. J to wear.
It's not even to wear Sixers. Like, they fit really well, these 2 Sixers sweatshirts I have. But here, meanwhile, Pat, you're like, you have every weird team in the league. He's a Browns fan.
Not true.
But you have all these bizarre... You're a Knicks fan? Why don't you pick a better team?
What do you mean, pick a better team?
I mean, if you're going to bandwagon, why the New York Knicks?
I was born in 94, so my youngest days of knowing basketball were when the Knicks were just coming off the high of being, you know, a
second best team in the Bulls?
A contender, though, every year. And then, you know.
A lot of yada yada in between.
Yeah, 2 decades of mediocrity.
Can I get a new team, Pete?
No.
How about the Denver Nuggets?
No. Absolutely not.
What else we got, Bogus?
Fired Louisville men's basketball coach Kenny Payne's reuniting with John Calipari as Arkansas's associate head coach. Payne was on Cal's Kentucky staff for 10 years before taking that Cardinals job. Together, they won a national title, made 4 Final Fours in 1 5-year span. Just one night baseball game. The Giants blanked the D-backs 5-0. Just 2 hours and 12 minutes. Logan Webb allowed just 2 hits, 1 walk over 7. And the NHL regular season finally ended last night. 4 days of season-ending games, Monday through Thursday. The Kings snuck past Chicago 5-4 in overtime. The Golden Knights lose to Anaheim 4-1, so L.A. finishes 3rd in the Pacific Division, faces Edmonton in round 1. Vegas drops into the 2nd wildcard spot, has to deal with top-seeded Dallas. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thank you so much. You want to listen to the show, so many ways to do it. We are on the absolutely free-to-download Odyssey app. SiriusXM Channel 158, our incredible Infinity Sports affiliates, and also YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Coming up, we check in with who else? Deion Sanders, next.
Daily.
Do you believe that?
Deion.
You believe
me? Checking in with Deion Sanders as we do almost daily. A lot of headlines, Perloff, about how many players the Colorado Buffaloes are losing in the transfer portal. Deion Sanders downplaying that.
I wish you guys do a little more homework when you start talking about the portal and understand what we're losing. What are we losing? I got time today. What are we losing? Potential. Yeah. Where? You haven't been watching practice, huh? Amen. We good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches. And please have some faith in me. We good. We all right.
All right. So Deion's got it. Don't worry. Got Shiloh and Shador out there asking people to DM them if they'd like to come to Colorado, just right out there on Instagram. I think the big question, Perloff, is, you know, Deion did an unprecedented roster turnover in year 1 where he basically went into an entire season with all transfers. is that a sustainable model? You know, Deion also said he doesn't really go to and take a lot of high school visits. And he said he can't go to one high school because then if he doesn't go to the next one and the next one and the next one, it really offends people and it can turn people off. So he just wants high school recruits to come to him. You know, can you do this in an all transfer like model, or do you need to be recruiting out of high school to win in college football?
I think not only do I think you can win that way, I think you're going to have to, because doesn't it seem like every player transfers now? And I think one of the reasons they're forced to transfer is because when you transfer, you can get a new NIL deal. So basically, it's like free agency.
Or you could re-up your recurrent NIL deal.
Right. You could get more money. Basically, if you come in as a freshman and you have a big NIL deal, fine. You may hit or not. But say you're a three-star recruit and you end up being good, then you can get an NIL deal. And I assume once you go out on the open market, that's a version of free agency. So you might be have an incentive to switch teams. The older teams are going to win in college football. So if everybody's out there transferring, you want the older players. Why would you want the high school players? It seems, and this has obviously happened to some extent in college basketball, where older teams started to win, and the five-star high school recruits did nothing in the tournament. So I think this formula kind of, if you pull it back, I'm not saying it'll work with Deion, but I think you got to lean toward the transfers.
But here's the question. In basketball, it's 5-on-5. And if you have one really good player, you know, they can impact the game so much. This is, you know, how many guys are on a college football roster? Like 100?
But how much development are you really doing between freshman year and senior year? It's not, they're only going to be there 3 or 4 years anyway. So what's the difference? Get him in for 1 year. Maybe he's well-trained at the smaller school. He comes in. You know, they have an all-new offensive line. To me, that's exciting because I saw their offensive line last year. Good riddance.
Yeah,
no, I agree with Deion. Like, they, you saw them in Pac-12 play. Is there anyone that they're, except for the Shador and Hunter, that they really care about? I think this is all good.
So that's your daily Deion. You know, if you zoom it out, just not from what Deion's doing, but I think there is a lot of pressure on Deion to, you know, up that win total a little bit from 4 last year to, I don't know, do you double it? Is that the right expectation? Maybe go to 8 wins, at least be bowl eligible. But here's the question. If you are always turning over your roster a lot in the portal, and I'm not just talking about Deion now, I'm talking about every team, can you gel enough in one season? You know, are you ever going to have something that's sustainable where you are a Georgia or you are an Alabama or you do get to keep guys for a little bit, you know, at least 2 years? I don't, just this formula just doesn't seem right. I still think you need the high school recruits. I still think there's a part of that that's important.
Okay, but if I was going to ask you, say there's a, which scenario seems more likely? There's a guy who comes out of high school and spends 3 years at one college and is the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, or there's a guy who transferred and took off at a second school and then is a number one pick in the NFL. Which do you think is more likely?
I mean, the second scenario is,
yes,
what we see a lot more of.
That's what's been happening. Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, now Caleb Williams will be the number one pick. Everybody's going to transfer. It's a reality of the situation. I don't think this draft and develop, it's not draft and develop,
yeah,
recruit and develop.
Recruit and develop, yes.
I just don't think that works anymore because you put all this work into the young guys and then they're going to leave for a better deal, which is, you know, NIL is not perfect. It was supposed to be marketing money. Now it's become quasi-free agency. So I understand why colleges are upset about this. The other thing, they just took all the guardrails off transferring so everybody can transfer anytime they want. I don't think you have a choice, Maggie. I don't think you can recruit the high school guys and win anymore.
So Perloff just mentioned that. Two different things that came down in the last 2 days with regards to college sports and how they're going to be in the future. One, as Perloff said, there are now no guardrails on transferring multiple times. Basically, the only guardrail is you have to be academically eligible. So if you've got to be academically eligible and working towards a degree, that's for undergrad. For grad school transfers, it's still the same. You had to have graduated from college. You have to be in good academic standing and be working towards a grad degree. Did you guys also see this came down yesterday, which is Virginia passed a state law scheduled to take effect July 1st. It's the first in any state to make it illegal for the NCAA to punish the school for compensating athletes for their NIL rights. So basically what they're saying is in Virginia, they want the school to pay the player, not the collective, not the boosters, actually the school. That schools in Virginia will be able to directly pay athletes for name, image, and likeness deals thanks to this state law that signed Thursday morning. Now, again, this is diametrically opposed to what the NCAA is saying. So I don't know which rule and law wins out. Is it the state rule? Is it the NCAA rule? I'm not sure, but that's a domino.
Well, right, but effectively they've been doing that anyway. Collectives are, I mean, does that change anything on the ground?
I think it does, because we talk about whether athletes can be employees of the school. So if you're paying them directly from the school, well, that sounds a lot like an employee to me.
Yeah, I mean, right. But legally, are they going to, I guess you're getting into, so you think, to me, what you're saying is you're getting one step closer to just fully professionalizing the whole thing.
I mean, I think this is probably, when we look back, is going to end up being a significant domino. I just don't know how far it's going to go.
I think the big one was that the courts let a team unionize. So now you're going to have collective bargaining. That'll be the big thing. And I think it's coming, and it kind of makes sense, because NIL, I don't want to, you know, I hate when people rail against NIL, because I rail against NIL because it's disorganized, not because the players are getting paid. I want them to get paid. I just think that this sort of course, because it's college football, we're doing this black market thing where we're saying it's marketing and it's not marketing. It's just free agency. So, but by the way, I looked at the Heisman odds for next year. There's only one or two guys who aren't transfers. I mean,
who's leading the Heisman odds?
So Carson Beck's number one. According to this, DraftKings, Carson Beck's one. He's not a transfer. Quinn Ewers, transfer. Dylan Gabriel, transfer. Jalen Milroe, not transfer. Will Howard, Jackson Dart, Garrett Nussmeier, DJU, Cam Ward, Riley Leonard, all transfers. So it's transfer. I'm focusing just on quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think Deion can win this way. It's going to take some time.
Well, I think the question is, when you see, and we're going to talk to Tom Fornelli later on in the show, but when you see Deion just going, and he covers college football for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ, when you see Deion just going transfer, 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 and kind of build that way, does it make you wonder how long a guy's really going to be around in this college program, right?
Right.
Is that fair to question?
You mean the players or Deion himself?
Deion himself.
Oh, yeah. No, because he's Deion, and he's such a big star, and it was great last year, but it feels like weird to have him staying in Boulder. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and no, I do not think he's going to be there that long.
Do you think this is his last year at Colorado?
I wonder about that because his kids are leaving. I got to admit, I do have a really deep fear that he's going to abandon the program, but you know, he's saying all the right things. What do you think?
I think that I believe, maybe this might be wrong of me, and it could come back to bite me. I believe Deion doesn't want to coach in the NFL.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
I do believe that.
But do you think he'll stay at Colorado and not do another college job?
No, I think with these bigger jobs are going to become open, and I think Colorado's been awesome, but I wonder if finally someone will convince him, hey, we'll give you the keys to the castle and come coach in the SEC or whatever.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.